The Starlight Lounge presents An Evening with the Progressive Box.
Oh, what a great audience. Let's dim the lights for this next one. Nope, too much. Ah, there it is. Gotta get things just right. Like Progressive's Name Your Price tool. Tell us what you want to pay and we help you find coverage options that fit your budget. And now, the mood is right. Wait, the lights are back on again. Trudy, can you? And now it's completely dark.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We want you to know better, do better, and be better. This is Hair, Head, and Heart with your host, cosmetology instructor, industry advocate and writer, Mary Reed Johnson.
Back. Welcome back to Hair, Head, and Heart. I'm your host, Mary Reed Johnson, and we will be joined by hair care and chemo girls expert, Mr. John Richards. And if you want to know how to gracefully transition your health, your wealth, and explore options for a robust experience and existence, stay tuned. Before we get to John, though, I'm going to say that there's a couple of noteworthy observances that we're having in November. And if you remember us talking about the fact that cats and rabbits, especially black cats, aren't typically allowed to be purchased or adopted during October, then you'll appreciate that the first full week in November is National Animal Shelter Appreciation Week. So in celebration of that, animal shelters and animal rescue types of things, what they encourage you to do is go to the Humane Society, and they encourage pet lovers especially to reach out and support the local shelters and the world, the rescue groups and vet's offices. Just support them at whatever level you can. There's another thing coming up, and it's World Kindness Week. And I know that some people need to prepare a little bit more for something like that than other people. And so during the show, we're going to talk about some ways that you can help and just give of yourself and that type of thing. And my guest today certainly knows about giving and kindness and charity. I'd like to introduce you all to Mr. John Richards. He's an award-winning salon owner and a stylist who specializes in chemo extensions for people who have experienced chemotherapy and afterwards they have a severe hair loss. He's an author and somewhat of a Horatio Alger story as well. So, John, I just thank you for being here. Can you hear me?
I can hear you. Thank you for having me. It's wonderful.
Awesome. Well, you've had an incredible dedication to the industry for 35 years. Can you tell the audience a little bit about your background and your decision to become a stylist? And through the hour, we're going to just kind of have them experience your life. Maybe not all of your book, but just some parts of your life because you have been a very giving person. So just tell us a little bit about yourself and how you became to become a stylist.
Well, I am one of 16 siblings, and I grew up in St. Paul, Minnesota. And out of the 16 siblings, there's six hairdressers. Of course, when you have that many people, there's bound to be a few hairdressers. And I'm a third-generation hairstylist. And actually, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Are they all hairstylists, or are there barbers and mixtures in there?
They're all hairdressers, stylists. I'm a stylist slash barber by trade, but okay. Doing runway shows and in New York and Vegas and L.A. and all these working for these companies like Rusk and Scruples and Nexus and Italy Hair Fashion, I did a lot of hair shows teaching other stylists trends, what's new in the industry, how to make your job a little easier, taking less steps to prevent carpal tunnel, things like that. So I've been all over the country. Yeah.
I was going to say, not everybody even knows some of these amazing companies. They should. Rusk has been around forever. Scruples is a Minnesota-based company that is right. international. Nexus, one of the last groups that was a holdout before some of our products went public. But
correct.
Just you've worked with a lot of, you know, big wigs, and you were a platform artist for most of them. So what
all
that
them,
means to
yes.
the to for all of them, okay. What that means to the layperson is the people that you see headlining shows and showing you how to use things, how to do or execute techniques properly and that type of stuff, the person that you go to learn from, that's our John right here.
That's me, yeah.
Correct?
Yes,
so that's
me.
Just little old me.
Little
well,
old
I'm
me.
Sure.
Right.
Yes, yes. So with all of that education behind you, is that how you slid into applying hair extensions to chemo patients? Or, you know, where did that kind of start?
Well, I took a class in 1999, 2000 in Chicago to learn how to do these extensions. And I heard a rumor, because I just don't do one thing. Like, some stylists like to do nothing but color. Some mm-hmm. like to do haircuts. I wanted to dive into everything. When I got into the industry, I wanted to do all of it. So I wasn't working Nexus that year because they fired the director of education, so we all had time to do whatever. So I went to the Midwest show, and I saw mm-hmm. these extensions going on. So a month later, I took a class. And so over the years, I perfected it. I'm coming up on just shy of 5,000 brand new sets of extensions.
5,000
so
sets? Oh my
yes.
gracious. I yeah, noticed that you
so,
have people from all over the country too. It's not that he has 5,000 heads just with bated breath in Minneapolis. They're from all over. St. Louis, Pittsburgh, LA, Washington, Texas, you name it.
Well, not only that, but I've had people come in from Peru, Belgium, Australia, Saudi Arabia, India, China. I'm not just wow. the United States. I'm world-renowned, I guess.
So literally all over the globe.
Yeah, all over the globe, yep. Very specific.
Now,
and how I got into these, I had this girl, her name is Becky, and she was frustrated trying to find somebody to do extensions for her after chemo. And so she mm-hmm. just finally found me, you know, out of chance. And I said, well, why don't you come on, let's take a look at your hair. And before that, I've already done extensions on people that have already had a couple inches of hair already. And, you know, one person lost weight. She lost her hair. She had her stomach stapled, so the stress in the body. I just decided, if I'm going to do your hair, I got to put some curly hair on to cover the rest of your scalp so you don't see your hair. So I've learned a couple ways already before Becky had done this. So when Becky showed up, her hair was probably right around a quarter of an inch. And I said, why don't we give this about 6 to 8 more weeks? But I can definitely do it. So when I end up doing her hair, WCCO, Ezzy Murphy, did a story on her. She asked me, because I was telling about this woman coming in to get extensions after chemo, breast cancer survivor. So I had a message on the next day. My recorder that I'd like to do a story on her. Would you like to ask her? I said, well, I'll try, but we'll see. I don't know. Cancer people are they're real, you know, secretive. And so I asked
some
them.
Some of them are,
agreed,
some,
yes.
you know, they're people. So some of them are more reticent
yeah.
and some of them are more generous with information. I know
yeah.
many years ago I worked for like Look Good, Feel Better, and I didn't realize, which is a program for female cancer patients. They lose their coloring sometimes, and so whatever makeups that were popular or good for them before might not go with their new palette. So, you know, losing all of your body hair, we, you know, don't often experience that. And you experience it, you know, every day, vicariously.
Every day.
So people need to understand that it's not just for a pretty look. It is really, you know, working with a mysterious thing. You don't know from one patient to the next how much or how little hair they're going to have. And so this is what makes John's unique and special. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I get excited about what you're doing. So
yeah, it's pretty exciting. So Becky did it, and we did the story, and it went viral. And, you know, back in 2012, it was I think it was Martin Luther King weekend or President's Day in February, mm-hmm. whatever that holiday is. And WCCO actually ended up doing a two-parter. At the 5 o'clock news, they did her story, what it was like having cancer. And the 6 o'clock news, that's where I came and did the hair. It was on a holiday, so everybody was home to watch the news. I thought that was really cool how God would set that up and help all these girls that. Because I've always told God, and this is my honest to God prayer, I said, Lord, if you help me to win the lottery, or if I ever become rich, I will do this for free. And last year, we ended up doing between 2 to 4 sets of extensions for free a month, just because I felt like God was chastening me to nudge me to do this for these women. And, you know, these women, when they come in, they, you know, half of them, their husbands leave. I think I had a girl in today. She was from North Carolina. Her husband, they divorced. They couldn't handle the deal, I guess. And that's about half these women. It was her husband. The women, I mean, guys don't really know what to do. Because that's for me. men are made to fix things. And when you can't fix things, like a girl in St. Louis, I did her hair. Her husband's really well-to-do, and they're both well-to-do. And he has all this money, but he couldn't fix it. You know what he did? He went in the basement, he sobbed like a baby because he couldn't fix his wife. With all the money he had, he couldn't fix it. So she goes, honey, just buy me a puppy. So they got him a golden, got a golden doodle, and that dog laid on her chest for the whole time. I mean, that dog, you can't even get close to her without the dog growling at you.
loyal.
Yeah, that's a positive moment.
I talked recently about marriages and relationships and how many break apart. And the thing is, when you have some extra thing that happens, it's like it should be a test and help build bonds and that type of thing. But unfortunately, that does not always happen, which just shared and experienced. So for the people who are interested in being like a chemo girl, and I should ask, do you only work on females, or are there males that you help as well?
You know, I've never had any males come in. I mean, I had a guy years ago, he's a cross-dresser, and he was one of my friends, he was an impersonator, a singer of Diana Ross. I gave him hair extensions to make her hair like a Diana Ross thing. But I've never really done extensions on a man before, as far as the stylist goes.
I'm a stylist as well, but very rarely. I don't put a lot of extensions on men. There are, you know, the different Hollywood hair, you know, and these types of things, which are, you know, more or less hair pieces. Some of them have some, like fusion and those types of things that they have embraced. But you're right. I feel for the men. I know that there's a lot of men in Hollywood, and almost all of them have extensions, but they're in the form of hair pieces, which is a little bit different.
Right.
I also appreciate that you don't necessarily take more hair off, because we know with it's one of the many, many things that's out there, and people do it. But Hair Club for Men, for example, they are known to shave the hair that is there so that the medical adhesive that they use can stick a little bit better. So you're kind of always stuck with not having any hair or not being able, and that's only one of their options. They have some more advanced options as well, but can you imagine the assault that people feel when, you know, what little they have is removed?
I saw a picture of a girl one time. She's from Canada. She goes, John, you can't believe what you look like after chemo. She showed me a picture. I went, that's you. No eyebrows, no hair, blown up like a balloon from the steroids. And then she showed me a picture. Took her 3 hours to get ready in the morning. She drew on her eyebrows, you know, the makeup, the wig. I go, that is you? from that to that.
Yeah.
Oh my goodness! I mean, it was amazing.
These transformation.
Girls, they think they're aliens. They don't. They look in the mirror. It's like, I don't know who you are. I have no idea who you are.
Yep. It's something that people should not have to go through alone. And if their spouses leave or their family isn't supportive, they don't know what to do, then it's wonderful that they have people like you that you can turn to. So I'm glad we're talking again in World Kind this week. You know, stylists are just, you know, we're special that way. We have the healing power of touch, you know.
Yeah, we do.
Some people consider us minor therapists. And we often can get deeper than, you know, a sibling or a family member or even a husband, a spouse, because we see it all.
If
you do it well, you're not judgmental. Yes,
right,
go ahead, John.
Exactly. Speaking of that, I had a girl come in. I was just sitting there waiting for the rush hour to get through. I was going to leave around 6. And so this woman called me up, and I was about 4:45. She goes, "Can you get? I'm looking to get a set of extensions before Saturday. Can you get me in?" I'm looking at my book. It's like, okay, tomorrow's chemo girl, Friday's chemo girl, Saturday I'm booked from, you know, the kingdom come. I said, "Well, I'm just sitting around here. How close are you?" Well, she was up in the Lake Minnetonka area, off of Lake Street. So she drove down. We started talking. And I had the hair in stock. It was a Asian girl, and she wanted the black hair. So we're talking about, I was just sharing a few stories that I have in my book. I'm going to share later here. But she started telling me her story. You got to have her on your show. This woman is amazing. Her story goes like this. Well, they had a lot of rental problems. She's a realtor. And they had a lot of, hundreds
rentals.
Of properties. And they're going to retire when they're young. And so then her husband thought, well, I don't need life insurance because I got all this money. Well, he went into a coma for 3 years.
Oh, my.
And they lost everything.
Oh, my.
Then he ended up dying. And then she wrote a book about it. And the people that, you know, the Soup for the Soul, the people that own the book,
a
hold of this book and ended up being a bestseller.
Oh,
and
she's
I forget the name what it's about, but it's about her life. And so that ended up being a bestseller. So now she's back on her feet. She hasn't married you again, but she's got, you know, 3 children. But, I mean, the story that she, you know, think that she said she walked away from God because she just felt like, how could you do this to me? So then what I do in the salon, when these girls come in, here's the deal. This is a divine appointment. I believe that because whenever I have a moment where I don't have anything to do and somebody calls me up and says, can you get me in? I said, sure. And I have the hair. That's a divine appointment. So for the 2 hours I had in my chair, I ministered to her. I told her about, you know, God is not that way, not his character. You know, it's okay to ask questions and to, you know, be angry with God. That's okay. So at the end of her appointment, I prayed with her. She wanted to come back to Christ. And she actually had a dream about Jesus, came to her and said, because her daughter got up and left. And Jesus said, you gave birth to her, but she doesn't belong to you. She belongs to me. And as far as your husband goes,
powerful.
Yeah, he belongs to me too. So don't stress about this stuff. Just lean on me. And speaking of lean on me, my wife just had her gallbladder out about 6 weeks ago, and I was really kind of stressed out. I was doing a lot of work. I have a special needs daughter, Rebecca. I'm going to talk about her later.
Oh, we got to talk about Rebecca.
She's great. So anyway, I was really tired. I was just really worn out. She was in the hospital for 4 days. It was actually a bad deal. It was really inflamed. So I'm shutting the door. I have to go into Beautycraft to get some supplies for my salon. I shut the door. When I shut it, I saw 2 arms in the reflection of the window. And my arm and the other arm was an arm with a long white sleeve on it. Really perfectly creased. And it was the Lord. And he showed me that, you know, that picture that everybody knows about footprints?
Yeah.
Well, God is carrying us whether we know it or not. And he wanted me to see that purposely to let me know, because I was really stressed out about this. And my wife, I mean, she's everything. But it was already almost blew up. That's how bad it was.
This is good. And part of the reason that I appreciate internet radio and you know, things like this is because we can talk about whatever. There aren't the limits and the restrictions that some of the, you know, syndicated, you know, generic stuff is out there. And you can talk about Jesus, and it doesn't have to be a Jesus channel. It could be your walk. It could be your ministry.
I appreciate that. And so I prayed with her. I brought her back to Jesus. And she was like, man, she ended up having these huge migraines. And a lot of that is because of the stress that she lost half of her hair because of the stress. And but the migraines were kind of came from the stress of her losing her husband and going through losing everything and all that. So what I do is I pray for them specifically for, there's a word in the Bible called iniquity. And the Bible talks about that as being a delivered evil thing. And what comes with that, iniquity is a curse. And so when she abandoned God like that, she really wasn't cursed, but the things that she said did. And the Bible says that life and death is in the tongue, and you can either speak blessings or curses over you. And the things that she said, she had to retract them, and I'm not going to get into it. You can talk to her about all that if you ever have it on your show. But so we got rid of all that, and I told her, I'll keep praying for you. I'll put you on my list of all the people that I pray for in the morning. But this is what I do for 8 to 10 hours with the chemo girls. Because the biggest thing that the girls come in, they say, why did God do this to me? Why did God allow this? I said, first of all, God didn't give you this because that's not God's character. Because the Bible says that God is all good. There's nothing evil, any deceit in him. He's perfect. And that's not his character. What happens is we live in a fallen world. We live in a world of fear. And, you know, the genetic line brings generational.
And fear is not of God.
Like Becky, she was a third generation of breast cancer. So I had to break that thing off of her. So if she ever had kids, that wouldn't fall on her. Because it goes down to 4 generations. You know, anytime you find a curse. It goes on and on and on. I got some stories to tell you about the book.
When people connect with you, or actually, if you would, just take a minute and tell the listeners how they can connect with you, phone number, email. What do you prefer? Can you
email
is
great.
Connect?
It's johnrichardshair@aol.com. And you spell John, J-O-N, then Richards, plural, hair@aol.com. That's my email.
That is
shoot me an email, and I'll be glad to talk to you or, you know, whatever you need to do. And I am a minister of grace. For me personally, I was sick in my body for 40 years. That's 4-0, bleeding and hemorrhaging. I had something called ulcerated colitis. And
does that affect you every day?
You're running to the bathroom all every day is what it is. And you're just nothing, you know, bleeding all the time. And
that
happened for
miserable.
80 years. It was awful. It's terrible. And
easy diagnosis, or did you suffer for a while before they figured it out?
Well, in 1972, there's a story in my book called The Secret. I had a secret that nobody knew. Well, in the summer of 72, I started bleeding. For 3 weeks, I just bled and bled and bled rectally. And I didn't know what it was. I was so terrified. I didn't want to tell anybody. And then it left. And then in the spring of 80... what's that?
That quickly? You said it left?
It came that fast and it left that fast. And then I remember in Easter of the next year of 73, I found myself in Children's Hospital because I couldn't stop the bleeding. So I was there for a couple weeks. They let me out. And then I was out for a week, and then I ended up in another hospital for a month, or 2 months actually. And then they finally put me on something called azulfidine. It's a mild steroid, I guess. What it actually not a steroid, it actually lowers your immune system a little bit. So basically what happened was my immune system was too strong and it would attack my body. And the part that it would attack would be the digestive system. And so I bled for that long. And so finally it stopped in 2013. And I'm on something called Humira. And I've been in total remission. I have no symptoms at all. Stuff is amazing.
Wow, John. That is more than amazing. that's a blessing. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah,
now,
I only got
to skim. Now, is this information in your book? John has a book, and it's called 0 to 55, right?
Yeah.
Life at the Speed of Grace. Are some of these stories in there?
They're all in there. I talk about my health issue. That actually, I think it's in chapter 3, The Secret. The first chapter talks about how I got molested by a teenage boy in the neighborhood. And I just wanted the world to swallow me up. I was only 11. The second chapter talks about fear. I lived in fear my whole life. We moved to this house in 1960 in St. Paul in the Selby and Dale District. And the minute we moved in that house, all of us, we were scared to death. And I had the room in the back of the house on the second floor, and I used to dream every night. I called the silent scream in my book that I was so terrified to wake up screaming so hard that nothing would come out, that I swore somebody was going to kill me or kill all of us in our house. So what was in our house, I realized later in life, was a spirit of fear. Because it says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. If I don't know what I know now, all I had to do was anoint my house with oil and rebuking the thing I would have to leave. Like the Israelites would anoint the doorpost and the header when that curse came.
That's all
I had to do. And I never even knew it. I lived in this fear from age, I think probably age 8 until 2013. God finally got rid of it. And what he did was he had me, I had to recite out loud Psalm 91 out loud for a year. And after
every
a year,
day or when inspired?
Every day I would say it out loud. I memorized the whole thing. I would do it during the day, sometimes a couple times a day. And then one time in 2009, the Lord actually showed me what I was battling against. I woke up in the middle of the night. My wife was gone. Everybody's gone, except all that was left was the cats. And I woke up hyperventilating and screaming like I used to when I was little. And I couldn't see them. I kept looking around like, where are they? Because I would see shadows and things in my room when I was growing up. And but this time when I closed my eyes, I saw them. And one of them looked like the girl from The Exorcist. The other one had these glaring red eyes like lasers staring right at me. Yeah, so the Lord wanted me to know that was fear. And they looked like round puffballs. They weren't really big. And I just said, what do you want? You have no right to be in my house. And I rebuked them, and they left. But you remember the old saying, the monsters under the bed?
Naturally, you did that.
What's that?
I said you did it naturally.
Yeah. Yeah,
yeah,
get out of my house.
You
don't have to be here.
There you go.
And so when I was little, we always talked about the monsters under the bed. Well, the monsters under the bed aren't that big. So I drop-kicked those things right off the face of the earth and never went back. Yeah.
We don't know who we might be helping at this particular moment. Do you know, or do you still remember Psalms 91?
Yeah, I do.
We can do it here. Can you recite it? Because we don't know. I'm prayerfully that it will help someone. Just knowing, number one, that you have the power over, you know, any spirits.
Right.
That you have Christ, you know, to support you. And then you add to it his word. So can you recite Psalm 91? And
yes.
This is
what it says.
In the name of Jesus.
It says, he who dwells in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. And I will say of the Lord, Lord, you are my refuge, my fortress, and my God in whom I trust. Surely you shall deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. And you shall cover me with your feathers, and under your wings I shall take refuge. Your truth shall be my shield and buckler. For I shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrows that fly by day, nor of the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor of the destruction that lays waste in noonday. 1,000 may fall at my side, 10,000 at my right hand, but nothing shall come near me. Only with my eyes shall I look and see the reward of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord, who is my refuge, even the Most High, my dwelling place. No evil shall befall me, nor shall any plague come near my dwelling. For he shall give his angels charge over me, and to keep me in all of my ways. And in their hands they shall bear me up, lest I dash my foot against a stone. For I shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion, the serpent shall I trample under my feet. And this is the best part. Because he has set his love upon me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him on high, because he knows my name. He shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. With long life will I satisfy him and show him my salvation. I said that out loud for a year, sometimes 3 to 5 times a day, every day for a year.
Well,
and I have no fear.
Worked.
It's completely gone.
Oh, my gosh. This is even bigger and better than the kindness week that's ahead of us. But just know, people, go open up your King James or whichever version that you
open prefer. Open your Bible, read it. It's God's love letter to us.
Bring it.
It brings life.
It absolutely brings
life from fear, from disease, all of it.
And that is powerful. I'm going to step back just a little bit, but we have World Kindness Week that I want people to, anytime they listen to my show, it's really to help them know better, do better, be better people. And World Kindness Week can't get any better than that, is the week of November 13th. So, again, some people need to prepare a little bit. And, John, do you know anyone who was caught up in the Atlantic hurricane areas this season? Texas or,
I have a girl that came in from South Carolina,
mm-hmm.
and she almost didn't make it. And it's because they shut down the airport. And and all of a sudden we were praying. It's like, God, because we're doing a video on her.
Oh, nice.
And she was a perfect candidate to do a video. And so we prayed, and the thing went, it shifted. And it went to Georgia instead of going up to North Carolina. And I just had a girl come in today, so she made it. But I had a girl walk in today in my salon. She lives in Florida, and she was affected. She was out of power for 5 days, and her house was a mess. But then she didn't lose her roof, break the windows, but she was farther inland. But I don't know of anybody else, but I had a couple girls that lived down there that was affected.
Well,
it was a mess.
Yeah, and it's still a mess, actually. They still need help. So that's part of the reason I'm mentioning it now. If you or someone you know want to support those areas, you can either, yes, a lot of people do send, just items, things that are unused or unwanted. But, and that's, something's better than nothing most of the time. But with areas like this that are totally demolished, they have something on Amazon of all things. Amazon has a wish list. Did you know about that? You download the Amazon app or just go online and look up Amazon wish list, and you just search for whatever area, whether it's a hurricane area or something else happens in the future. Anyway, you just click, whatever it is that they want anywhere, and a lot of times it's a donation, and they'll buy the things that they need from local people or local companies, it's much cheaper, for example, to send money for some bottled water that they get in the area than it is to ship, say 100 pounds of bottled water, or to fly, them over, because the airports and airlines might not be very reliable. Also, it'll get rid of that middle thing that happens. Like, we had a lot of provisions sitting in, I believe, an airport or airport hangar, not able to get to the people in the town. So, you know, it gets rid of a lot of that mess. And I know some people don't think it's as personal to leave money or to give money, but if that's what the people need so that they can kind of situate life more quickly, then give them what they need. But again, just look up Amazon wish list and find there's a registry, basically almost like you do with weddings, and just look up, say, Texas Hurricane or whatever you want to do, and they'll tell you what they need, and hopefully you can, that'll be your act of kindness, at least one of your acts of kindness for the week. Something, yes, another simple thing that people can do, leave money on a vending machine. Sometimes people, you know, they might be hungry and they've got $1 but you know, everything in the machine is $1.25. So it's, you don't know who's going to pick it up. That's part of the random act of kindness, but leave money if you can, you know, just around. And also in this season, we're entering, and you deal with chemo a lot, and your patients luckily have survived, but sometimes, you know, people aren't that lucky. So, or it's not their time to, you know, continue this dispensation. So you can comfort people in grief, and usually, well, I'll say you can bring them something to eat or help them with yard work or cleaning or anything like that, but it's not usually when the activities are going on that people really need the help. It's after people have left town and participated in memorials and those types of things. That's usually when the grieving begins. So open your eyes, open your heart, look for those types of things, and maybe that would be a good time to start giving. Now, back to giving, your life is about giving. I mean, you didn't have an easy grow up. You really didn't. And then you find yourself, you know, at a platform artist, and you're working with these really big companies. And there was something, a little excerpt of your book I read, and it talked about the moment that you realized that, like, you had a story. And so I'm glad that you wrote it. I haven't read the entire thing yet. I will have to get a copy so I can read the entire thing. It's just important that, you know, you're so giving and that you're sharing. And along those lines, tell me about your daughter and your and how she's involved in your mission.
Well, my daughter, she's special needs. My children are from Korea, and there's four girls in my wife's family, and all four girls were diagnosed with something called pre-ovarian failure. So what happens is when the sperm comes in and fertilizes with the egg, the body kills it, and nobody knows why that happened. But
so they'll never
we
have
all adopted.
Children?
Yeah, nobody could have kids. So we all adopted. So in our family, in my wife's family, there's four Koreans, two Colombians, two biracial, and two Caucasians in the family that everybody adopts. We have two children. We have my son, Zach, and my daughter, Bex. I call her Rebecca, but we call her Bex. And when she got diagnosed, when she was born, she was a preemie, and she was 8.5 pounds as a preemie. And for a Korean child, that is huge.
That's a lot of baby, John.
Yep. She looked like a little Buddha. She had wrinkle after wrinkle. It was really cute. And, but
I'm sure
she'll really
appreciate
sick,
that.
So they gave her, So she was really sick, and so they gave her blood transfusion. And in the blood, there was a CMV virus and some other things. She had bronchitis. She had pneumonia, all these other things. So it affected all of her fine motor skills. And so when the doctor diagnosed her at 22 months, that's called mildly mentally impaired. So all of her fine motor skills are just a little off. Said you're gonna have to get her involved with something that's gonna stimulate her mind and her body. So we thought it's gotta be some type of a sport. So we thought, okay, the Koreans, they play soccer, baseball, and softball.
Wow.
So we tried that when she was little and wasn't gravitating toward nothing. She was having a hard time just even standing there holding the bat or catching the ball, whatever. And so a couple years later, we bring home the movie called The Mighty Ducks. And she, when we started watching it, she just couldn't get on enough of this movie. She wasn't talking at 4 years old, but she was quacking. And it's like, so because of the movie, they
wasn't
quack.
That was filmed in Minnesota, wasn't it?
St. Paul, yeah.
Okay.
And so we thought, we just thought it was cute. So about 6 months into it, she just wanted to watch it every day. So I said, Becca, want to be a duck? So God's prescription for my daughter was a movie called The Mighty Ducks. We got involved with something called Ice is Nice, which is a Anoka hockey arena up where we live in Anoka County. It's on a Saturday morning, and this old retired hockey player would help these kids how to learn how to play, the little kids, like, you know, 3, 4 years old. And Becca, they pushed her around on a chair for 3 years because she couldn't stand up. But when she finally could stand up, it was a glorious moment because, you know, she didn't learn to walk until she was almost 5. And but she could skate. She could stand on her skates. So then we got involved. She just kept pressing on it. She really loved it. So we thought, let's just get her on a team. And so they would just put her on the ice. She couldn't move, but she'd just stand there with her hockey stick. And the puck would come to her, and she'd hit it. And we all go, yay, you hit it.
Yes.
And we stuck with it. Now she's been at it for 21 years. And she's now on a women's league. She's actually really good. She actually
played
JV. That
is beyond blessing again. Oh.
Yeah, exactly. And the cool thing about the JV thing, you know, let me back up on the JV thing. When she was on a U10 team, and she was 12, we asked this woman that worked with handicapped adults, Susie Miller, and her daughter was the goalie. I said, is there anything that Becca can do when she gets past the U14, any type of sports? Because she works with handicapped adults. She goes, let me check on this. So she found out there's a whole league out there called From USA Disabled Hockey that are prosthetic hockey, sled hockey, and then special hockey. So because of my daughter and Susie Miller in 2005, we introduced in 2006 USA Disabled Hockey to Minnesota called Minnesota Special Hockey. So now there's actually 10 teams in Minnesota because of my daughter.
Because of Becca.
Miller. Because of that. And so that's her legacy. That's her. There's over 200 players playing hockey because they just love, they want to be part of something. So then we fast forward to JV, the dinner, the senior dinner for hockey. And we were hoping that, you know, Becca would be recognized as far as, because she loved hockey so much that maybe they'd give her an honorary letter.
Yes.
And so all the rewards were given out, the national, then local awards, and everybody sat down and had dinner, and then as we're eating, the coaches went back up there and said, you know, when we were hired, we decided that we're not going to give any individual awards to anybody because you have to earn them to the state and to the National Honor Society and all that.
Right.
But then they said, but we have this one player that for 3 years knocked on my door after every practice, after every game, and said, Coach, they say, yes, Becca. How did I do? What do I need to work on? For 3 years, and we never knew it. I never knew that. And I looked at my daughter. I'm like, what? Is that? And so he said, I wish that all my players had the dedication and love of the game as this girl that we have here. So they decided to break their policy to give my daughter, Rebecca, the most dedicated player award.
Absolutely. Now that's
good
coaching.
And it was a cool deal.
Oh,
yeah.
Now
really
I don't
funny
know.
Moment.
That is, it's beautiful. Did you realize, John, that November is also National Adoption Month?
I did not know that. That's pretty cool.
Yes. So I mean, in line with your wife's history, again, you know, I am a vessel. And I just let God do his thing. I shouldn't say I let him. I'm happy. I'm happy that he's here because, again, aside from the kindness and you know, your journey through life, it really literally is National Adoption Month. And that is part of your wife's history. That's part of Becca. I mean, it's everything. It's all in there. So let's talk about adoption and what makes it special and just try to encourage people to help. I'm going to give you some information about Minneapolis and what's going on in Hennepin County. Hennepin County is like the seventh largest county in the whole nation. So we get a lot of things that, you know, whether it's trial programs or, you know, ultimate funding or, you know, these types of things. We get a lot more exposure to stuff than some other places. And that can be a good thing, but it can be a bad thing because one of the problems that came out last year around this time was that our need for foster care and adoption, so the kids who were there waiting and needing help, it quadrupled last year. And sometimes, you know, they're looking for full placement, but sometimes kids just need a safe place to heal. So like what happened to you when you were 11 won't happen to a kid who's just working through an issue or their family is working through some issues. But at that moment, they can't return home. So they need someone to care for them. And so, you know, in this whole Kindness Week and Adoption Month and that type of stuff, I want people to know and understand or look for ways that they can help. So in Minnesota, basically they've got over 1,000, almost 2,000 kids in the foster care system. And the kids are about half male, half female. They're mostly multicultural. So an actual number I have is 71% of them identify as more than one race. So, it, you know, that could be anything. In your case, it's Asian.
Yeah.
And I don't know if they're full Asian or if they're Asian and Caucasian or, you know, I don't know. But, but there's, you know, they're not alone. And these numbers are just outrageously high. So some of them are even in sibling groups. So that means that they need to be, or it'd be most beneficial if they could be adopted together. So, you know, in this journey for people when they're looking for something to do, if you're in position, you've got a couple of hours a week that you can volunteer. Even if you're a driver, I used to be a driver that took kids from wherever they were in the foster care system to meetings that they had with their families, right? Their biological families who were still trying to piece stuff together. So, I mean, it wasn't a big role, but it's what I could do at the time. And so just look for opportunities. I am trying to piece together a workshop for people who have multi-textural, multicultural families, and they want to know about what to do with this hair, you know, and make it a bonding experience and not a separation experience. You know, just that type of thing. So, again, God, I think God really did place you here, because who knew that you had that in your background? So thank you for that.
Exactly, and, right, yeah.
And, you know,
our stories are powerful. Everybody has a story to tell.
Absolutely, but some stories are really big and can help a lot of people, and I think you've got one of those. You know, we've got all kinds of things going on legislatively in Minnesota all the time with the cosmetology department. But right now they've got something going, and I'm wondering if you are offering – I know you offer the you have a specialist at eyebrow – at microblading.
She's a microblader, yes.
Yes. Is that part of the private certification that exist or that's, you know, kind of emerging?
That's a private thing. You have to go to Atlanta to get certified in that.
Mm-hmm.
I guess. Okay. And but yeah, there's a handful of people in Minnesota that do it.
All right, because I thought that was a pretty neat thing, and it's something that is growing as far as not just micro blading only, but different things that we do with our bodies and you know, just beautification. Some of it's beautification. Some of it is, at last, we have options, you know. I've seen even hair tattooing and, you know, things like this. So, it's
wonderful thing.
It's just a wonderful time. Before, time goes so quickly, we're almost at the end of our hour, but is there a particular point that we want to share with people, or anything you want to share with the audience today about what you do and, you know, what you would like to see next? Like, what's the next big thing for John?
Well, the next thing that for John, I'm always looking for the next thing. I really have a hard time sitting still.
I do have something. I know that you have the training academy, I think you have the training academy for the chemo girls. At one point, your mission was to have one of these trained people in every state. Are you still doing that?
Every state of the union, yes. And I'm still doing. Yes, that's something I'm doing right now. Yes, and we just finally got it all organized. We did something. We did we shot something on the internet. And we got so overwhelmed with the response, we had to shut it down because I couldn't handle it. So basically being trained for doing extensions for chemo girls. And everything's trademarked now, and it's patented, and we're all ready to go, and you can register online about being trained at johnrichardsalon.com.
And
yeah, that's my next big adventure here. I have something else on the horizon that I can't tell you because I've been sworn to secrecy. One little thing,
but well, we'll have to have you back when you can share.
Yeah, it's going to be a big deal. I can't say anything, but it's something really cool. It's going to be a good thing. You know, the Bible says that we're never supposed to stop doing good, so we're always supposed to be doing good. And
absolutely.
I just want to keep doing good. I want to honor God. I want to people that come to my salon. I want to honor them as a human being and give them the time and the day and listen to the story and to feed them, and then not only with the food, but feed them with kindness and mercy and God's grace. That's my mission in life. And when I became a Christian in 1982, I got saved in my backyard. My brother led me to Christ. I was raised Catholic, but I believe in God because they told me to believe in God, but I never really knew who God was.
Right.
I always thought that God was a gray-bearded old man that hated my guts, because that's...
Oh, no!
He always told me that I was so stupid. Yeah.
Aww.
And so in second grade, I had to stand in front of my classmates, had to explain to everybody why I was so dumb. And so I always thought that God just hated me. So when I became a Christian, it was a month later...
That wasn't the God of grace.
No, not at all. So this guy walked up to me in this prayer meeting, and he said, "I got a word from the Lord for you." It's like, "Oh God, now what did I do wrong?" Because I always feel like I'm doing something wrong, you know, back then. And he said, "The Lord's going to use you to restore and heal people." Then he walked away. I went, "Whoa, whoa, whoa, come back here. You just can't say that and walk away." I said, can you explain that? He said, "Well, you've been sick in your body your whole life, and God's going to use that sickness in your body to heal other people and to bring, healing to them." And so I've had, in my book, I have the first half it talks about my life, and the second half talks about all these miracles that God has performed in my salon.
Wow.
Like physical, major miracles.
I got to say, John, I thank you for being of the vessel that you are and the light that you are. And I'm sorry you had those horrific experiences, but even those made you what you are.
I absolutely
appreciate you, and thank you for sharing your message. I forgot to give the call-in number, my apologies, but this will be on podcast, and I hope that people sign up, become trained under John. And you know, if you have the experience of chemo and you need his help, it's nice to know that you've got a wonderful healing touch here for you in Minnesota. Thank you, John.
Wonderful. You're welcome. Thank you very much.
All right. I'll talk to you again.
Okay. Bye-bye.
This is Mary from Hair, Head, and Heart. We'll see you next time.
Thank you for joining the discussion on Hair, Head, and Heart with your host, Mary Reed Johnson. Mary steps from behind the chair to discuss universal topics and share passions and insights to help all ages and communities know better, do better, and be better. Join us every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific Time. Check out Hair, Head, and Heart homepage on PBS Radio or visit 3hwellness.org to grow with us.
The world moves faster every day. It's easy to think the new opportunities aren't for you. But you know better. Your life experience isn't holding you back. It's the springboard for your future. And Rasmussen College can help you get there. We offer more than 20 innovative healthcare and nursing programs that are flexible, affordable, and provide start-to-finish support. The degree you need, the future you want, at the speed of life. It's your time. Visit Rasmussen.edu.